Everyone, I'm Alexandra Pokurara, Senior Editor with Commercial Property Executive. Welcome to another episode of our quarterly podcast focused on occupier and investor sentiment in real estate markets around the globe. For those of you listening for the first time, this is a podcast series created in partnership with the Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors in London. Our regular chat is focused on the organization's Global Commercial Property Monitor, and today we will be analyzing the results of the survey for the last quarter of 2019. We'll also be discussing some predictions for the year ahead, of course. My guest today is our ACS economist, Terrence Parsons. Welcome back, Terrence.
Hiya, good to speak to you.
So let's begin with a general view on the past year. What is your key takeaway when it comes to the global commercial real estate scene of 2019?
Generally speaking, I think the performance of many of the largest markets across Europe and North America, I think that's remained pretty solid. Of course, I think in some cases, investment totals were perhaps not quite as strong in 2019 as they were a year or two ago. But commercial real estate, I think, has still continued to attract strong inflows relative to the longer term historical averages, certainly. And then on the back of that, capital values have continued to rise and really support returns on investment as well. So overall, even though there are some parts of the world where maybe we've seen some more negative trends, I think total activity across the global commercial real estate sector has remained very solid, or at very solid levels in 2019.
How do you think investment generally held up over the past year compared to initial predictions?
Maybe going back to 12 months ago, I think the predictions that were made back then, generally speaking, they've proven to be quite accurate. Perhaps in some areas we haven't seen as much of a slowdown as was expected. So if you take Germany, for instance, I think 2019 actually posted one of the strongest years in terms of commercial real estate investment on record, and that probably wasn't anticipated. Now, admittedly, momentum did look to be slowing there in the first half of the year. So maybe it's more of a story that the second half of 2019, particularly the last quarter, that's where expectations were surpassed, as we saw kind of a breakaway from some of that easing that had been noticeable in the early part. So maybe the story is the second half of the year was stronger than anticipated in some cases.
And it seemed this is expected to continue, because the first thing that I noticed as I looked over the most recent Global Commercial Property Monitor was the overall positive note. What are the reasons that stand behind this trend?
Yeah, I think that definitely is an interesting development this quarter. And for some time, we've been saying that the market globally is continuing to cool, be it very gradually. And that message was coming through very consistently. But in Q4, as you say, there is a more positive trend that seems to have emerged. It's difficult to know exactly what to attribute that to. Obviously, the trade tensions between the US and China have dampened significantly with the phase one trade deal agreement. And that's potentially settled some nerves in that area. And it could also be that the loosening in monetary policy from several central banks last year, that's already fed through into improving credit conditions and therefore supporting activity and boosting expectations. So those are the two main reasons I would point to.
So the report for the third quarter of last year pointed out that everyone was concerned about a potential slowdown. What were the main disruptors mentioned by respondents to RICS's most recent survey?
Yeah, I don't see much has changed in that respect. That generally, if you look at global economic forecasts, they are quite subdued still, and the macro environment isn't as supportive for employment growth and, you know, occupier demand growth on the back of that as it was, say, back in 2017. So although sentiment has improved in terms of maybe a reduction in the perceived likelihood of an international trade dispute hitting growth or something like that, the global economy is still not exactly firing on all cylinders. And if trends were to take a turn for the worse, we already have very low levels of interest rates, and perhaps there is limited ammunition for policymakers to really boost the economy much through that avenue, at least going forward. So I think the macro environment does still remain the biggest risk, even if some of those risks have receded compared to where we were earlier in 2019.
Yes, we will discuss interest rates and capital markets a bit later on. But before that, what I've noticed is that investor sentiment numbers are highest in countries like Greece, Portugal, New Zealand, Czech Republic, Romania, Germany, and Austria. Lots of European states. What do we need to know about Europe's commercial real estate landscape?
Yeah, our results remain very solid across Europe. I think you could also point to France as having a very strong end to the year, as well as those nations that you mentioned. And I think that the drivers of this strong performance, they do vary depending on where you look. So for markets such as Hungary and Romania that I'd pick out, these areas, they have seen some exceptionally strong rates of economic growth. And I think, for instance, in Hungary, I think the final outturn will show that GDP rose by nearly 5% over the course of 2019. So that's a very strong growth story there. And I think that the trend there, or the driver there, is just very low bond yields that continue to push investors further out the risk curve and into real estate in the search for returns. So, and the recent changes in monetary policy is only likely to kind of further embed that pattern. So, although our results across Europe are kind of solid, in most cases, actually, when you look into the detail of that there are differences in the drivers there.
Now, speaking of Europe, the United Kingdom was highlighted as an attractive market by a significant number of contributors. Now, given the Brexit turmoil, is there something that we're missing here?
Yeah, we've seen a really positive reaction when it comes to sentiment in the UK following the election result in December. And that's not just something that's coming through in our survey results, but also in many other survey indicators that track the economy more generally. And I think the perception is that with a strong majority for the Conservative Party, so the government, that has created certainty. So no matter what your opinions are on the eventual impact of Brexit, I think it does remove the uncertainty as to when or if the UK will leave at all, which was making investors perhaps wait for further clarity. And only time will tell whether or not this proves to be short-lived, particularly as we have the very difficult task of securing a trade deal in under a year to take care of. But the initial reaction does seem to be very positive.
What are your personal expectations from this year ahead post-Brexit?
For the year ahead, I'm not sure much will change. It is when it comes to the end point of the year. The Prime Minister Boris Johnson has kind of said that he won't be looking to extend the implementation period. It means we do need to get a trade deal done, signed off within or less than a year. And if you look at historical precedents, that doesn't seem to be particularly easy or viable to come to such an agreement in such a short time. So my opinion is that unless the Prime Minister backs down and says, okay, we can extend that period of transition, then we do move towards another cliff edge of a potential no deal exit just further down the line. So I think worries around that, unless the Prime Minister changes tack, will re-emerge further down the line.
It will definitely be interesting to watch and see what happens in the UK with the post-Brexit movement. We were discussing positive perceptions in Europe regarding investment, but it seems that Asia is also seen as a good target for foreign capital. Are there any particular markets in the area that stand out? What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, I think Asia overall is a bit of a mixed bag in terms of our survey results at the individual country level. But to your point about foreign investment demand, I think Japan really has come through as one place that seems to have attracted growing interest from international investors. And one reason for this that I've heard, at least being suggested, is that due to the ongoing issues in Hong Kong, which is normally a significant kind of recipient of foreign capital. Because there's all the issues there, investors are looking elsewhere in Asia to deploy funds, and it seems that Japan at this point in time is benefiting from this.
Moving along to the United States, in the US, more than half of market participants believe the market is peaking, but there was a decline from nearly 30% to just 15% in the number of respondents who feel it is in a downturn phase. What should we expect going forward when it comes to commercial real estate in the US?
I think the message coming from the US results really fits in quite neatly with the global narrative. So a little bit more positive in this last quarter, although there is generally the perception that the cycle is very advanced. But the final quarter of this year did bring about some what appeared to be renewed kind of impetus. And on the back of that, capital value and rental growth expectations have picked up for the year ahead. That's at least away from the retail sector. But having said that, there is still a bit of a disconnect between maybe prime and secondary markets. And so the outlook is kind of more upbeat for prime offices and prime industrials. But when you look at secondary, it is much flatter. But overall, we have seen a strengthening in expectations across the US.
Tell us about the global markets that are an exception to this positive, generally positive outlook. Hong Kong is among them. You already mentioned Hong Kong. Any others we need to mention?
Conditions that remain difficult in markets across the Middle East. So respondents that continue to report falling demand and rising vacancies in the UAE, for example, and that is obviously pressuring rents and capital values in that downward direction. But I would highlight there that although 50% or over 50% of our survey participants feel the market is still in a downturn, we did see a rise that's worth mentioning from 19% to 36% that feel the market has reached its bottom. So not yet picking up, but has reached its bottom. And it is difficult to say when a more positive trend could emerge, but at least conditions are slowly shifting towards a more stable pattern in the eyes of some contributors.
So you think the tables will turn soon for some of these areas?
It's difficult to say, but at least these are the early signs, maybe that the downward trend is dissipating to a certain extent.
Now, let's discuss property sectors. You already did mention a little bit about retail. Property sectors are usually an important section in the RICS survey for both investors and occupiers. Where do we see an uptick in property values?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's not a news story, but the industrial sector is still very much the leader in that respect. The demand for, in particular, logistics space, it continues to rise quite sharply. Obviously, as spending increasingly moves online and outside of physical stores. So I would say that growth in the industrial sector, where expectations remain very positive for the coming years, but maybe it's not going to match the exceptionally strong rates that we've seen since around 2014 or 2015, maybe in some cases even earlier than that. But the outlook is still positive, nonetheless, comfortably positive, I should say. And certainly the industrial sector displays the strongest sentiment in the vast majority of markets that we cover.
What about office properties? This is usually also right there at the top.
Yeah, I think it's sitting somewhere in between. Again, it's that prime and secondary split. So actually, offices that are located very well, they're continuing to see some strong demand, and expectations around the outlook there are very much positive. But it's flatter for secondary in most cases. So whereas industrial seems across the board to still display that kind of positive assessment, office sector, depending on where you go, is a bit more mixed, with prime standing out as a lot stronger than secondary.
Projections for secondary retail real estate are negative. We see rent decreases. What can you tell us about the future of retail?
Yeah, so that's really the on the flip side of the reverse of the strong performance of industrials. You know that the downturn in the retail sector, it shows no sign of easing really in most places where it is negative. I think actually the downbeat message on retail is probably becoming more widespread across Europe, and those markets which have seen conditions deteriorating for a while now are just as negative at this point in time as they were beforehand. So really, it's still the structural changes in the retail sector that means that some, or even maybe a lot of this retail space is no longer fit for purpose, and probably we won't see it suddenly become in demand again without it being redeveloped for a change in use. So unfortunately, no positive news to bring you on the retail sector at this point. I really wouldn't expect that to change in the immediate future either.
Now, as a conclusion to what we've seen in the last 3 months of 2019, what was the most surprising thing about commercial real estate in the last quarter of 2019?
Yeah, well, I have been a little bit surprised with how quickly the recovery across Brazil has kind of gained traction over the past couple of quarters. And I probably mentioned it last time as a market to look out for in terms of the prospects there. But it has been very stop-start. So the fact that the results in the fourth quarter were even stronger than those in the third quarter, which in themselves were significantly better than beforehand. That really does suggest to me that the Brazilian market is likely to kick on from here. And if you look at near-term capital value expectations, these are actually at levels not seen since 2012, and that's really been supported by growth in demand from not only domestic investors but also international buyers of late. So the extent to which that has kind of come through as a positive story all of a sudden, that did surprise me.
Interesting. Brazil will definitely be interesting to watch. I remember you've mentioned, or Simon, I think, in our last podcast mentioned India as an emerging market or as a market to watch going forward, with some similar descriptions to what you've mentioned about Brazil. Let's talk a little bit about what's ahead. So, forward-looking indicators are actually stronger than those relevant for the current environment. Would it be accurate to say that we are looking at a strong 2020 for both investors and occupiers?
It does depend where you look. So perhaps if you were to take an average of all global markets, then it might be the case that these forward-looking indicators are a little bit stronger now than what they were in the middle of last year, say. But there are still many examples of markets which are expected to struggle over the next year as well. So if you just focus on perhaps the best performing markets of late, then the latest results are pointing to another solid year ahead, both in terms of occupier and investor trends, at least outside of the retail sector. So that doesn't seem to be too promising, even in these stronger markets, a lot of them anyway. And I think movements in financial markets over the past couple of months, and notwithstanding a slight blip over the past week or so, I think that does suggest that nerves have settled around the outlook for the global economy. And although momentum may not be picking up in any meaningful way, I think growth is at least viewed as stabilizing now, and that may then usher in some greater confidence, which we might have seen with regards to investment prospects for global commercial real estate.
Now that you've mentioned this, what should we know about commercial real estate financing as we head into 2020?
Yeah, well, I think that looser monetary policy has fed through already into improved credit conditions across the sector. And with regards to prospects over 2020, I think although central banks, they may not have the same kind of bias to ease policy in many cases in the immediate future, there is still little reason to expect a more hawkish or a change in approach, which would see interest rates rising. So I don't expect that to emerge either. So if rates kind of remain on hold, then I think credit conditions will likely remain very supportive for commercial real estate activity in 2020. Maybe we aren't going to see as much of an improvement that we've seen over the past 6 months or so, but should still remain accommodative in any case.
What are the markets that are seeing weaker forward-looking indicators?
Yeah, well, I think aside from the Middle East, which I've already spoken about, we have some quite negative results coming through in some Asian markets. One that I pick out would be, well, sentiment in China has turned increasingly downbeat over the past 2 quarters. Now, much of that may have been linked up until now with the protests in Hong Kong, but going forward, obviously, we have this coronavirus outbreak that does pose a significant downside risk to economic growth, given all the precautions put in place to prevent it spreading, so travel restrictions, etc. And that does probably present the biggest concern across the region right now. And you would imagine that is going to hit sentiment quite harshly going forward.
We are a month into the new year, into the new decade. There's been a lot of positive predictions regarding what's ahead. To close, tell us what are your expectations from 2020 when it comes to global commercial real estate? Any challenges to watch out for?
I would say overall, I'd expect 2020 to look quite similar to the year that's just passed. So across the largest markets globally, conditions they look set to remain solid, and should bring about continued growth in capital values and rents. And obviously, that low interest rate environment is going to support this. Of course, that there are challenges that could emerge, and I would just say that. It will be very interesting to see how the UK market fares over the next 12 months, having, I think it's fair to say, underperformed most others across the European region in 2019. So it's not a universally held view, this increased certainty or some clarity introduced into the situation. It's not a universal view that that will spur on pent-up demand, but there is enough kind of anecdotal evidence and anecdotal commentary that does suggest they feel that is the case. So it will be interesting to see whether or not that does materialize, or if this pickup in sentiment actually proves to be quite short-lived, because there are, as I say, still very difficult challenges around Brexit on the horizon, even as soon as the next kind of 9 months.
Tarrant, thank you very much for your insights. It was a pleasure as always.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, my pleasure.
Our next chat is scheduled for April, when we will be analyzing the results for the first quarter of 2020. Until then, visit cpexecutive.com for all our podcast series and real estate articles.